Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 27, Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Saved. We're on Text 27.
Namo
Kinchana
Vittaya
Nivita
Guna
Vittaye
Atmarama
Santaya
Kaivala
Prataye
Namaha
Namo
Kinchana
Vittaya
Nirvita
guna vrittaye
Admaramaya
santaya
Kaivala
pataye
namaha
Namo
kinchana
vrittaya
Nirvita
guna
vrittaye
Admaramaya
santaya
Kaivala
pataye
namaha
Namo
kinchana
vrittaya
Nirvita
guna vrittaye
Atmaramaya
santaya
Kaivala
pataye
namaha
Namo
Kinchana
Vittaya
Thank you.
them all.
All obeisances unto you.
Akinchana Vritaya.
Unto the property of the materially impoverished.
Nirvita.
Completely transcendental to the acquisitions of the material modes.
Guna.
Material modes.
Vritaye.
Affection.
Atma. Atmaraya.
One who is self-satisfied.
Santaya.
The most gentle.
Kaivala Pataye.
Unto the master of the monist.
Namaha.
Bowing down. My obeisances unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and our master of the monist. Please repeat. My obeisances unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and our master of the monist. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. A student sacrifices his childish proclivities to gain better education. A servant gives up his job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but for something tangible in spiritual value. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and others gave up their worldly pomp and prosperity for the sake of the service of the Lord. They were big men in the worldly sense. The Goswamis were ministers in the government service of Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was a son of a big zamindar of his time. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. There is a nice story about Srila Sanatana Goswami. He had a touchstone with him, and this stone was left in a pile of refuse. A needy man took it, but later on wondered why the valuable stone was kept in such a neglected place. He therefore asked him for the most valuable thing, and then he was given the holy name of the Lord. Akinchana means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee or Mahatma does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. The touchstone of Sanatana Goswami, which was thrown in the rubbish, was not the property of the Goswami. Otherwise, it would not have been kept in such a place. This specific example is given for the neophyte devotees just to convince them that material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. A spiritual master like Srila Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no such spiritual vision. Advancement of material vision or material civilization is a great stumbling block for spiritual advancement. Such material advancement endangers the living being, entangles the living beings in the bondage of material body, followed by all sorts of material miseries. Such material advancement is called anartha, or things not wanted. Actually, this is so. In the present content of the material advancement, in the present context of material advancement, one uses lipstick at the cost of 50 cents. It's now $10. And there are so many unwanted things which are all products of the material conception of life. By diverting attention to so many unwanted things, human energy is spoiled without achievement of spiritual realization. The prime necessity of human life, the attempt to reach the moon. I'm sorry. By diverting attention to so many unwanted things, human energy is spoiled without achievement of spiritual realization, the prime necessity of human life. The attempt to reach the moon is another example of spoiling energy, because even if the moon is reached, the problem of life will not be solved. The devotees of the Lord are called akinchanas because they have practically no material assets. Such material assets are all products of the three modes of material nature. They foil spiritual energy, and thus the less we possess such products of material nature, the more we have a good chance for spiritual progress. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no direct connection with material activities. All his acts and deeds, which are exhibited even in this material world, are spiritual and unaffected by the modes of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that all his acts, even his appearance and disappearance in and out of the material world, are transcendental. And one who knows this perfectly shall not take his birth again in this material world, but will go back home, back to Godhead. What is that verse? Good. The material disease is due to hankering after and longing it over material nature. This hankering is due to an interaction of the three modes of nature, and neither the Lord nor the devotees have attachment for such false enjoyment. Therefore, the Lord and the devotees are called Nirvita Guna Vritti. The perfect Nirvita Guna Vritti is the Supreme Lord because he never becomes attracted by the modes of material nature, whereas the living beings have such a tendency. Some of them are entrapped by the illusory attraction of material nature. Because the Lord is the property of the devotees and the devotees are the property of the Lord reciprocally, the devotees are certainly transcendental to the modes of material nature. That is a natural conclusion. Such unalloyed devotees are distinct from the mixed devotees who approach the Lord for mitigation of miseries and poverty or because of inquisitiveness and speculation. The unalloyed devotees and the Lord are transcendentally attached to one another. For others, the Lord has nothing to reciprocate, and therefore he is called Atmaram, self-satisfied. Self-satisfied as he is the master of all monists who seek to merge into the existence of the Lord. Such monists merge within the personal effulgence of the Lord called the Brahma-jyoti, but the devotee enters into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which are never to be misunderstood as material. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimatipati Vidanta Swami Dinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Sunyabari Pasyatya Adya Satanini
Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam dutirayat naishya preshu apadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naisati omagena timirandasya gana gana salakaya jaksun militanyena tasmai shi gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Putale Swayam Muka Gadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakshatatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsyepam Sadvaitam Savahutam Parijana Sayitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishika Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Ube Sako Pika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gurange Radhe Vindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Pevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The property of the impoverished. Srila Prabhupada explains to be materially impoverished is the first qualification to becoming a devotee. One whose only possession is Krishna, a kinchana, one who has lost all material possessions. As long as we're thinking that there's anything in this material world that's going to give us some happiness or some satisfaction, we're going to have to come back and take another body. Krishna's sitting in the heart. He knows what we're all thinking. He knows what all our desires are. And so if he's seeing that somebody is wanting something, he just tells material nature, oh, this one wants to be a king. This one wants to be a dog. And material nature is so kind, it provides the suitable, perfect body for this enjoyment. Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. Krishna has free will. Krishna's free will is quite immense, quite strong. Nobody can force Krishna to go anywhere, do anything, say anything, be anything. And so similarly, the living entity, like Krishna, we have free will. And Krishna will not interfere with our free will. Just like in the ocean, you take a little cup of water out of the ocean, there's a little salt in that water. Not as much salt as that is in the ocean. The ocean is quite a bit of salt. And similarly, we have the same qualities of Krishna, but in a minute quantity. Janmadiyasya yataha. Everything comes from Krishna. Even the propensity to steal comes from Krishna. Everyone has a certain propensity. If you've had children, you'll see they learn very quickly to steal. Take them to the store and you have to watch them. They may start opening bags of candy and helping themselves. Similarly, we all have this propensity to steal that needs to be curbed and needs to be controlled. But when Krishna steals, everyone's in ecstasy. Mother Yasoda, the cowherd boys, the monkeys, even the trees are in ecstasy when Krishna steals. But when we steal, it's quite a different matter. It's quite disgusting. Srila Prabhupada mentions Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami, who are exalted acharyas in our line, magnificent personalities, nicha siddhas. Not ordinary. They originally, their family came from South India, in a town called Karnataka. And they had to leave. Their family had to leave because there was a dispute. And when the family left, it wasn't just a few people. There was the family, the members of the family, there were the followers, there were the servants, there were the family members. It was quite a group of people who came to Bengal at that time. They belonged to an exalted class of brahmanas, the Yajurveda, Bhadaraja, Godrida brahmanas. They're quite exalted and very knowledgeable. And it's interesting that when the British partitioned India, it went right through West Bengal, East Bengal, and right through that area there. Now, if you were to go to visit even Advaitacharya's, you would have to go into Bangladesh. So they grew up in this Jessore, which is in Bangladesh. At that time, Sanatan was called Amar and Rupa was called Santosh. And then they, as they grew up, when Sanatan Goswami was a young man, he had a dream. He dreamt that a beautiful Brahmana boy came and gave him a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, if we have wonderful devotees out on the streets giving these books out all the time. And so getting a set of Srimad Bhagavatams may not seem to us at first a very significant thing, but in those days, the Srimad Bhagavatam had to be written down on leaves by a brahmana. So it was very rare treasure to have a Srimad Bhagavatam. And so he had this dream. And when he woke up, it was just a dream. But then later that day, a beautiful young brahmana came and brought him a set of the Srimad Bhagavatam and told him, you study this book and you'll go back to Godhead this lifetime. So at a very young age, he started studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. There was a sultan, the Shah of Bengal, Hussein was his name, and he had a minister who could read the future. He could foretell the future. And he told the Shah, he said, if you employ these two boys, Rupa and Sanatan, if you employ them in your service, you become very wealthy. So he went to them. And of course, they turned him down. They're brahmanas. They weren't going to work for a Muslim. But the story goes that he was threatened to kill brahmanas every day until they agreed. So they agreed. And they had to put on the dress of a Muslim and go and work. Rupa was the chief financial minister in the court of this Shah. And it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of devotees who they have to go to work every day and they have to put on the clothes of whatever that's required in their employment. And this is the way they have to live. So we can take some solace in the fact that Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami did this for some time. But then, of course, they met Lord Chaitanya. But they became very wealthy. But it's interesting. You can still visit their place in Ramakeli in Bangladesh. And what they did was interesting is that they had a large property that they built cottages, and they invited brahmanas and scholars from all over India to come and stay there, and they would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam all day. And they worshiped deities called Madan Mohan. So they're very great devotees, of very great Vaishnavas. And of course you know that when Rupa Goswami met Lord Chaitanya, he left and gave us an excellent example of giving 50% of our earnings to the preaching movement, 25% to the family, and 25% for emergencies, which Sanatan Goswami used when he escaped from prison later on. This Shah is interesting because even though he seemed to have this evil, cruel streak to him, he still had some other dimensions. There were different devotees who worked for him. Shivananda Shane and Kari Kanapur's father worked for him. And Gauradas Pandit and his brother also. So we are known as Rupanugas, Srila Prabhupada explains, because Srila Rupa Goswami was so expert at relaying the message of Lord Chaitanya. He gives us several great literatures. Foremost, of course, is Nectar of Instruction that Srila Prabhupada translated. And this is our handbook. This teaches us how to become pure devotees. And then the Nectar of Devotion was so important. There in Vrindavan, just close to Nandagram, is a place called Tarakandamba where Rupa Goswami wrote many of his literatures. And there's this tree there, a Kadamba tree that he wrote, he sat under and wrote. And when he wrote about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna when they separated, the tree's leaves would drop, just like tears falling. And then, when he wrote about the union of Radha and Krishna meeting again, the tree would bloom flowers and blossoms and leaves, and this even out of season. This is the effect of Mahabhagavat has on all living entities. They were very, very austere, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was so austere, he would just beg for a little flower and he would mix it with a little Jamuna water and then put it in the coals of a fire. And that was all that he offered his Madan Mohan. Until Madan Mohan asked for a little more one day. He asked for some salt, which actually disturbed Sanatana quite a bit. Ooh, he's wanting salt now. What next? Puri, sabji, sweet rice? What am I to do? I'm just a poor mundicant. And then you know the story where the barge coming down the Jamuna got stuck on a sandbar. And Sanatana Goswami happened to be sitting there chanting. So he helped the barge. He helped the captain get the barge off, in which the owner came to thank Sanatana Goswami. He said, "What can I do for you?" He recognized that here was a great personality. And Sanatana Goswami says, "Well, you could build the Madan Mohan Temple." And so even today we can see this beautiful creation that was built on the banks of the Jamuna. But he was so austere. And Rupa was so austere. Half a cup of buttermilk a day is all he ate. But one day he invited his brother to come take prasadam. He was making a feast. And so Sanatana came and he said, "Where did you get all these to make this feast?" He says, "Oh, this young cowherd girl came and she said her family had too much and left it with me." And he said, "Rupa, what are you doing? You're taking service from Radharani. We are to give service to them. Don't do that." But it was Sanatana Goswami who was sitting by the bank of the Radha Kund, chanting, so absorbed in chanting that he didn't see Radharani came, and with her chadar she sheltered him from the sun, 130-degree sun. There were such special devotees, such special devotees, and so austere. I wanted to just read this little prayer that's in the Nectar of Devotion from Srila Rupa Goswami to give insight into his mentality. The strong conviction that one will certainly receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called in Sanskrit Ashabandha. Ashabandha means to continue to think because I'm trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service. I am sure that I will go back home, back to Godhead. In this one prayer by Rupa Goswami is sufficient to exemplify this hopefulness. He says, "I have no love for Krishna, nor for the cause of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting, and the process of bhakti yoga by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, I am not even born in a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopishanavallava, Krishna maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. The purport is that under this heading of Ashabandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or another he will be able to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says that any activity is spiritual, but all material activities are worthless. Srila Prabhupada said that he had also had some difficulty in his life. That when he was 25, he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, that he had seen an astrologer, and the astrologer told him that he would be the richest man in India. And Srila Prabhupada thought, well, I will make a lot of money and I will give it to the preaching movement. And he did very well for some time, but then everything fell apart. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is so kind. He made him a failure in material life. Some people know this, but then they're afraid to become devotees. And so when Srila Prabhupada, he said that he turned to Krishna when all his material assets were taken away. And he said, this is a test. And then he quotes what Yudhisthira had said. Yudhisthira inquired from Krishna, we are completely dependent upon you. Yet we are suffering materially so much. Our kingdom was taken away. Our wife insulted. Our enemies attempted to burn us in our house. How can this be so? And Krishna replied, yes, that is my first business. If I especially favor someone, then I take away all his sources of income and place him in a great difficulty. In this way, Krishna is very dangerous. So Srila Prabhupada said that actually it was a great benediction, a kinchanavritta, where Krishna became his only solace. And that he was able to completely turn to Krishna. To lose material opulence for Krishna's sake is not a loss. Rather, it is the greatest gain. When we have nothing to possess, Krishna becomes one only riches. And so Narottam Das Thakur has this prayer. Ha ha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vishvakva Vishabhanu Sutta Yuta Kuna Kaha Eba Narottama Dasakahe Natalia Rangapaya Tumi Vina Ke Achema. And Srila Prabhupada translates it, Krishna, but for you I have nothing to claim. I have no possessions. You are my only possession. So please don't neglect me. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Should we end here? Did you want to say something, Maharaj?
No.
Chapter Nectar of Devotion.